5:05 in the Fast Lane. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Brad Barnes, Brad Thompson, Chris Ranji, Randy Carricker, and Take It or Leave It is coming up in a moment. You can send your text into the Hot Shots text line at 65780. But before we get to Teoli, for years now, 79-year-old Nancy Segula of Ohio has been feeding the stray cats in her neighborhood. Some of them wandered in randomly, and some were left by neighbors that moved away. But since 2017, Segula has been a constant source of food for the kitties. That is about to change. Neighbors began to complain about all the cats, and that's when Segula started to receive citations. She received her first in 2017, and three others have followed since. The latest, though, was much more than a fine. It required her to appear before Magistrate Jeffrey Short last week. He sentenced her to 10 days in the county jail. Segula's son said, "I couldn't believe what my mother was telling me. She gets 10 days in the county jail. I couldn't believe it. I'm sure people hear about the things that happened downtown in that jail, and they're going to let my 79-year-old mother go there?"
Stop feeding the cats.
Yeah, it's that simple.
Get rid of some of them. Jail.
You can't send somebody to jail for 10 days for feeding cats. You guys know I'm not a cat guy.
Yeah, I know that.
All right. But I'm an animal lover in general. And if there were a bunch of cats hanging outside of my house and expecting me to feed them, I think that I would do that.
Four citations.
Yeah, well, who knows what kind of financial flexibility she has here, but either you pay the citations or you crowdsource with other cat fans, and I think that they would help you pay for them. You keep feeding the cats. She's fighting the good fight here.
I don't think you'd like dozens of cats hanging around your house like you think you might.
No, I don't think I would like it at all.
It would be awful.
And I think I'd hate it more around my neighbor's house. All of a sudden, they're cats that aren't even theirs are crapping all over my place.
Yep.
I don't think that I would love it, and I understand it here. But this lady's got a big heart, and then she's going to get stabbed in it in jail.
Yeah, you got to throw
shanked,
the book
I
at
think
her
is
here.
What they call it
I'm
there.
Sorry, shanked in jail.
Hey, if she doesn't like it, she can find her way out.
Or fashion her own shiv.
Get yourself a rock hammer.
The Bulletin, apparently official, LeBron James is expanding his media empire into Canada, and Drake is helping him. Sources report that James' uninterrupted platform is being backed by Drake as co-owner and promoter in Canada. Take it or leave it, the Lakers have no chance.
I'm going to leave it still.
I'll leave it.
Drake's on their side.
Well, they just won a title in Toronto.
Yeah, Drake's a winner now.
Yeah.
Hey, cool.
That's all gone.
Yeah, he jinxed plenty of franchises along
franchises,
the way.
Yeah.
But no, he's got one. He's on a hot streak. You ride that thing out. Hell, the Lakers have a better chance now with Drake in their corner.
He's won for his last one.
Now, when their superstar is not that into basketball, who knows? But we'll see. He's got other ventures. I think we all knew that was going to happen when he moved to L.A. in the first place. All right, so we all know that Ezekiel Elliott, he ain't there. I mean, he's training in Cabo. And by the way, more news today. He and the Cowboys are getting sued for $20 million from an event. Remember that car accident in 2017? That little fender bender.
No.
He's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently it was a lot more than that. They're getting sued for that. But we'll get into that at some other time. But it hasn't been all smooth sailing for Zeke Elliott, but we know how important he is to the team, and everybody's been weighing in on this, whether it be talk show hosts or former NFL stars, and that is the case. O.J. Simpson weighed in on the Ezekiel Elliott stuff, and he had news for Jerry Jones. He said, "Hey, you better pay him."
Sounds
take
like
it
threat.
Or leave it. That's a credible threat.
That's a credible, absolutely.
I'm taking it,
yes.
Too. I'm taking it, too. Just like, you know what? I'm filing that one. I'm at least telling people close to me that he said I better do something. Guy that allegedly hacked up two people.
Good thing for Jerry Jones.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
He's a billionaire, so he probably has a lot of... It would take a lot for OJ to get to him. You know?
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing,
though.
He's
got protection.
What Jerry's not the one that needs to be concerned. The guy that handles his reading glasses is the one that needs to be concerned. The one that is always
his son-in-law, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Or son.
Because apparently, if you deliver reading glasses and OJ's around, man, you got problems.
He hates reading glasses.
He does.
Hates them so much.
And when they get delivered, he'll kill you, allegedly.
Jealous of your 20/20 vision.
Yeah.
With your glasses.
Are you nearsighted?
Yes. Yeah, I can't see so good.
That's it.
Guys, you know that Mario Lopez, you ever watch the show Extra?
Extra.
Yes. And
extra. That's and Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell. There you go.
Right. AC Slater.
Anyway, so Bayside's Mario Lopez has been the host of Extra for several years now. Well, he's got a new job with Access Hollywood, and he just recently started.
Access.
And according to Page Six, in starting his new job and walking around the offices of his new place of employment, he had a full-on security team escorting him throughout the office.
His
bodyguard wouldn't leave his side. It was so weird. It was like he was the bleeping president. And Access is on a gated lot. There are tons of security there already. Take it or leave it, somebody's out to get AC Slater.
We'll take it.
Who was his
rival?
Take
it or leave it at Screech.
Oh, do you think so?
Definitely.
It might be Dustin Diamond.
I think he's not making enough money doing his porns?
I think he stopped doing porn.
Did he really?
I think so. I think he only did the one movie, right?
I don't know. Really don't know his catalog, but I'll take it. Somebody's after him. If you're going to have
somebody's
your
security gotta be after him.
Hanging out with you all the time. Take it or leave it. If you're like a legitimate superstar, there is always a credible threat in your life.
I would take that.
Yeah, I'll take that too.
But we're also talking about Mario Lopez.
I think he's a superstar.
A superstar?
Right? Everybody.
I think he's a star.
I don't think that Mario Lopez can go anywhere without everybody knowing who he is, even if they say, oh, that's AC Slater.
If you're a superstar, there's always that chance that somebody is just going to race past your door person, get through your door, run into your bedroom, jump on your bed.
Correct.
It's just going to happen.
Or if you're just an average fella, that might happen to you.
Hmm. Big Sis, what do you got for us?
What?
Take it or leave it. The Cardinals need to keep Marp in the minors for the rest of the year.
I'm going to leave that.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it as well.
What if he goes O's for, what is it? He has 20 games, right?
Yeah.
What if he goes O for like
60?
Yeah. You can't bring that guy up.
But you can't send him down either. You have to DFA him.
I think you have to
put him through waivers or get him to agree to go.
Yeah, you have to get him to agree.
Yeah. Hey,
do you think he's a team guy where he says, look, I'll do it?
Yeah,
I got to get right.
I think he is too, actually.
Yeah.
He ain't going to be happy about it.
Guys, according to the text line, that Dustin Diamond adult film was filmed in St. Louis.
Was it really?
According to the text line, 65780, give us some details, maybe
I
some background
knowledge.
Yeah, keep it coming.
Yeah. Get all the scoops
That's
coming
what she
in
said.
Here. Randy.
Holy hell, Randy.
We get another one that says Slater.
You kidding me? That's how you get in the business in the first place. Man, that is a lot. Yes, it is. Why?
It's my job.
What is
it
wrong
is now.
What is
You're
wrong
signed
with
up.
You? Are you okay? Holy crap. We're off the air.
Take it or leave it. Take it or leave it. Homes that are scented like cats and cat litter are barely a notch under homes where people smoke in them.
Take it.
I'll take it.
Take it.
I'll take it as well.
Take it or leave it. Doug Armstrong could drink a fifth tonight and be more productive than Mo will at the trade deadline.
What the hell?
I'll leave it.
I'll leave it.
That's mean.
You really got Randy on that one. That's good.
Take the knife at the trade deadline. I know what to do with this.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Dustin Diamond did, in a St. Louis hotel room, make that tape, according to the New York Daily News.
He did what?
He made the porn tape in a St. Louis hotel room. Let me see if I can find out where.
And apparently he used a stunt. Nah, never mind. It wasn't his.
Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for the texts to the Hot Shots text line at 65780.
I'll tell you what, people from Saved by the Bell have gone off to some interesting... What is Lisa Turtle doing? Anybody know what she's up to?
I think she...
Mark Voorhees?
Oh, I think she had like a drug problem, right?
She was on The Bold and the Beautiful for a while, a long time ago. She was on a soap for
What's
a while.
What's Mr. Belding doing?
I think he died.
No, he did not.
He was just here not too long ago.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that's what it was. I knew he was in the news.
Oh, better
that's why you're random comedy show.
He came back for a video.
Dennis Haskins is dead. No, he was just in town last week. Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
Any press is good press.
Next up in the fast lane, some trade rumors are being thrown around that involved alleged Cardinal targets. We've got the details next on 101 ESPN. And like Alan, you're always welcome to use the mic drop feature on the 101 ESPN app. And if you send in a mic drop for us, we'll use it here in the fast lane on 101 ESPN.
If it's decent.
Alan's got
it's
the
be
energy.
At least decent, right?
Something else going on. Oh, I think he's always, I think he's hit his team butt heavy for life. That's right. Feeling it. And by the way, in that mic drop, I realized something because it made me laugh. Not is underused. Can we bring that back? Where we say something and then not.
Well, I think Borat tried to bring it back a few years
ago. This is black not.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that
pause,
idea.
Dot, dot, dot.
Not.
Yeah, how are we going to bring it back?
Let's give you some of the latest rumor stuff. We mentioned that there's a report from Tim Brown of Yahoo that the Astros are talking to the Giants about Madison Bumgarner. John Morosi just tweeting that the Indians and Astros have had recent communication about a possible Trevor Bauer trade. The extent of the progress of talks is unclear. Houston is pursuing multiple starting pitchers with hopes of landing one. And, of course, Bauer and Bumgarner would be two big surprising fish for them to get one of.
For sure. So the thing with Trevor Bauer, and we've had multiple people mention it, but Tim Kirkjian on the show today, if you're the Indians, you're a couple of games back of the Twins, who you could definitely catch. You look at the rotation that they have right now with Bauer in it. They've got Corey Kluber. They've got Shane Bieber. They've got Clevinger as well. Like that's a group that you feel like you can make a big run with. So even making a deal, if you make a deal with the Astros, what are you getting back? Like, what are you getting where we still can go win a division and trade off a piece? Now, maybe he has worn out his welcome over there. Certainly, it feels that way. We had Bob Nightingale from USA Today. He was on the show with us yesterday, and he joked, but I think he was kind of serious, that if, in fact, he were traded, Terry Francona would help him pack his bags. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of where that relationship is right now, but how do you do that organizationally?
Bauer's been fined, and apparently Francona is considering further punishment. I don't know what that would actually entail, but he clearly was not very happy for him throwing the ball over the center field wall after being pulled from a game.
Which you loved, by the way.
Which was hilarious. I mean, it's not my team, right? Mm-hmm. I thought that stuff was hilarious. But I can understand not wanting that particular personality around, but you have to figure, in order to make that deal, his personality, whatever he is, whatever kind of person he is amongst everybody else, it's got to be so detrimental to the team that it's causing them to not be as good. So if you're making the decision, if you're the Cleveland Indians, making the decision you are better without him, whatever you're getting back in return has to be substantial. And I'm not talking like prospects that can help you in the future and are under team control for a long time. I'm talking about guys who can help you right now because that team is two games back. If they get into the playoffs, which I think they will, I mean, they're a wild card team right now, they could really make some noise. They're a good team that I feel like is dormant and ready to wake up. And moving him to me would seem like a really bad thing.
Bob Nightingale reporting that the Braves have joined the Yankees, Astros, Twins, Phillies, and Brewers in expressing interest in Diamondback starter Robbie Ray. The Diamondbacks also have a slew of teams pursuing left-handed reliever Andrew Chafin. Now, this morning, Peter Gammon said, keep hearing Clint Frazier to Arizona for Ray or Bradley or multi-players, not Devi Garcia for both. So that would mean that Clint Frazier would leave the Yankees and Robbie Ray would wind up in the Bronx. That would seem a strong possibility, but the Braves, Yankees, Astros, Twins, Phillies, and Brewers already reportedly interested in Robbie Ray, who, along with Minor, is the top lefty on the market.
Yeah, even if you don't believe that he is the best of the best, even if you don't look at him and just say, Robbie Ray, boom, there it is, that's my Verlander. He's not. He's not that guy.
No.
He's very good, though. And if you're a team like the Yankees, why not pony up? You have plenty of offense over there. You've got the bang, but you don't have enough guys in the rotation. The bullpen is really good. I would do that. I would certainly do Frazier. And honestly, I would think about even for the right starting pitcher. Maybe this isn't Ray. I think about your top prospect as well.
I would too. And I really like Ray. I think the walk rate's a little bit concerning. And if for somebody who you would like to get you deeper into games, and I'm just looking at this from a Cardinals perspective, they need guys in the rotation that can go deeper. I'm still taking my chances with somebody like him if he's available to me.
I don't disagree with that. I think that'd be a great pickup here. John Heyman reporting that the Justin Smoke market is starting to smoke. In addition to the Indians, he mentions the Rays, and they're interested, as are the Phillies and one or two others, in Justin Smoke. The Mets are going to start Noah Syndergaard tonight. As of this moment, he remains their starter for tonight's game on the south side of Chicago. And Tanner Roark is still starting tonight against the Pirates. So those are a couple of pitchers that are on the market, apparently, that are the teams don't fear, at least, them getting hurt tonight.
Business as usual. It's kind of how you have to approach it.
But we have Hug Watch. You got Hug Watch.
So you got to watch out on a game like tonight when you have some starters that are pitching. Oh, certainly lineup watch. Any late scratches, a lot of scratching of the head, wondering where guys are going. But you'll have, after a game, you know, starter comes out, and oftentimes he gets the hugs from everybody. Don't be fooled by those hugs. I mean, those could just be congratulations, you had a really nice outing hugs.
Who was the Tigers outfielder that he got replaced mid-game because he got traded in the middle of the day? Do you remember?
No.
This was probably like 6 or 7 years ago. And he was in the game in center field, and they had to call
Austin
him out.
It was Austin Jackson.
It was Austin Jackson.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Do you remember when Wilmer Flores...
That was the best.
Thought he got traded,
oh,
and he cried.
Right.
And it turns out, you're still here.
That's even funnier.
Time. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, and those are the latest rumors as the trade deadline approaches. Right at the beginning of our show tomorrow, 3 o'clock, you'll want to be tuned in because that's when the deadline hits. Next up, with that deadline less than 24 hours away, and you know you have questions... Whatever they are, get them into the Hot Shots text line 65780. The Sports Six Pack coming your way on 101 ESPN. We appreciate your text to the Hot Shots text line 65780. And with your questions for us, here is Big Sizz.
Okay, guys, the first one. If the Cardinals do nothing else at the deadline, then lose the series to the Cubbies, is it time to perhaps change the oil in that old panic bus and get it road ready?
No.
If you're one game out, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. There will be a disappointment.
There'll be anger.
Yeah, you're right. And almost rightfully so.
Yes, I agree
because
with that.
Because you have a division right now that is for the taking. Now, I think that it would be less anger if, in fact, maybe, no, it wouldn't. But I'm saying if the Cubs didn't make a big move and if, in fact, the Brewers didn't make a big move, at least here we are. We're all standing pat and we're going for it with the group that we have. But no, I'm not going to panic when you're a game out of first place if you lose this series.
I'll just be ticked.
Yeah, this is a huge opportunity for them. They're going to have 10 of these opportunities the rest of the way, and 6 of them are going to come at the very end of the year. So, realistically, you stay in striking distance, and you're in good shape.
It can't be more obvious. Mo knows this because he told that to Dan McLaughlin. What they need couldn't be more obvious because Ponce de Leon doesn't give them any innings.
Right.
The innings are touch and go for Jack Flaherty and Wainwright on the road. Every single one of their pitchers has problems with delivering more than 5 innings. That's what you need to go get, is a pitcher that can give you at least 5 innings consistently. It's not that hard to figure out. Now, it might be hard to get the guy, but it's not that hard to figure out.
How does pay and salary work when guys go up and down like Bader, back and forth from the minors to the majors?
BT, you know that well.
I should remember this well. So it's different if, in fact, like if you go to arbitration or you're a free agent, like that's your money. So if they send you down, you still get paid that money. But right now in the 0-3 service time that Harrison Bader is in, he's not making big league money now. He's making minor league money. He's making what I believe is second year 40-man roster money, which I don't know what it is now. It used to be $50,000 a year, so I'm assuming it's higher than that now. So I'll look in to see what that number is. But it is a significant cut from what he was just making. Now, Harrison Bader's got a little financial flexibility anyhow. He signed for a little bit of money. I think he comes from a little bit of money and has made money the last couple of years, so it's not going to kill him. But payday ain't going to be fun.
Will he be frustrated coming from money and then living the big league life? Will he be frustrated by the accommodations on the road?
Yeah. Yeah, but he's done that, man. He's lived minor league life before. Yeah. He knows it all. But what I'm telling you, that is one. I remember this one very well. I got sent down, and this might have been the first time. I think it was. I got sent down. I met the team in Oklahoma City, I think is where they were. And I went, we had an off day or something. I went out that night. I go back into my room, and I plop down into bed, and who's there? Reed Gorecki. I'm like, God dang it, I got a roommate. What are you doing here? He's like, what are you doing here? Like, this is my room. He's like, well, it's my room, too, and I was here first. Can you get out of my bed, please?
Oh, man.
My bad, Reed. My bad.
So is Marp getting his own room?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's being taken care of.
He's staying in a different hotel.
So now, probably the Peabody in Memphis, right?
Peabody's nice.
And he never plays a road game.
Yeah.
He's only at home games.
And like we were joking earlier, if he goes like 0 for 60 in his rehab assignment and they say, look, man, we need you to accept an assignment in AAA for a while to get yourself right, and he agreed to it, he's getting his big league money.
Hope he buys him a bus.
I don't think he's making that Jordan money. He's bought some spreads, I bet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he probably would. But Harrison Bader's fine, too. He didn't put that Gucci jacket on layaway.
Nah, that's true. His.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard any rumblings for interest in Michael Wacha or Carlos Martinez?
Certainly not Wacha.
No. And I haven't heard anything about Martinez either. I have to imagine his value isn't great.
No.
But I think it's a similar situation to when we were talking about, again, he's not Bader because he has a major league track record where he has been really good. But in the sense that other teams would be interested in him, I'm sure a ton of teams are still interested in the promise of Carlos Martinez.
Yep.
But his value isn't there. So to trade him away doesn't make any sense.
What's in that benefit?
Right, there isn't one.
This is... A year injured, and then a year that you're not what you should be. A year diminished.
So right now, the way that I look at the Cardinals is they need Carlos Martinez if they're going to win.
I agree.
They need him at the back end of the bullpen. And the way that his value is gone with the injuries and the fact that there's question marks whether he can be a starter in the league again due to the shoulder, you're not going to get value for him, so it's not going to help your ball club to trade him. Now, Michael Wacha, I honestly wouldn't be surprised at all if a team took a flyer on him and just said, look, we'll give him a run. We believe that he could be effective maybe in our bullpen. We'll get him out there. We'll just make him throw fastball changeup and give him a shot, and the Cardinals could get a prospect for him. But again, I don't know if it's worth it right now, because currently with the state of things right now, and I know that he's penciled in as your fifth starter whenever they need a fifth starter the next time, they need somebody that can bridge a gap in innings in the bullpen also. So you better be trading for something like that as well.
I think there would be interest in both of those guys, but for Wacha, it would be we're not going to give up anything to make this happen. And for Martinez, they'd probably say, we're going to give up a little bit. We'll give you something, but it's not going to be what you think you should get in return. I think the Cardinals would be more than willing to deal Wacha just to open up that spot. But for Martinez, you better get back something significant.
Do factor is a real thing. With Matt Carpenter, what's the do factor mark? If he goes 0 for 40, do you just say, hey, it's got to happen at some point, bring him up?
Not the way things have gone this season. I wouldn't. And even if he goes 2 for 40, I wouldn't be inclined to do that. But at the same time,
he's due.
Well, he's due. And he's getting paid. So what I think probably is not what the Cardinals will think. They're going to think, okay, he did turn things around last year. They might start to look at some of the exit velocity or whatever in the minors and say, okay, he is due. He's ready to come back. I would be inclined to go with the 2 for 40.
Yeah, I honestly don't believe, and this is with no, you know, intimate knowledge, I don't think that they are thinking like that right now, where it's like, oh, yeah, he's going to be fine. He did turn around last year, because the outside numbers aren't there like they were for him last year. They're not coming to him and saying, oh, your hard hit rate is there. Oh. You're getting screwed by the shift, which certainly he's got given up. I mean, he sees the shift almost every single time. So there have been some hits given up there, but he'll come back because he is getting paid. He'll get a couple of opportunities, but I don't think that he's going to get everyday playing time.
And I think it's notable that he and they planned on him being in the Cardinal lineup on Friday night. And when he started off 0 for 6, they said, well, let's hold off a little bit. And then they keep him in the minors for the weekend, and they still have however many days left to try to get him right on a rehab stint.
Well, I've been saying that I thought for sure as soon as he's ready to go, he's coming up and he's getting starts. And regardless of what everybody else is doing, he's going to get that time because they want to find the old Matt Carpenter. But I don't think they expected him to go down and start his rehab assignment and go hitless for this long.
No.
We're about an hour early here, but would you rather go stepbrother style and lick a white dog turd or watch Mo do nothing at the trade deadline yet again?
Did you say white dog turd?
White dog
turd.
Like when
it's old.
It's old, yeah. It's
there's
been
no smell.
There, petrified.
Oh.
So are we guaranteeing if, in fact, I do lick this dog turd that he makes a significant move?
I think so, yeah.
I'll lick the turd for a big move.
You know what? Maybe you're Mr. St. Louis.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Because I'm not licking a dog turd unless I'm getting
it's petrified. It's fine. Like, there's no,
it
like,
isn't fine,
BT. It's fine. Everything's fine. Hey, it's, you've probably eaten turds before.
If yeah,
but
I don't know about it.
You're guaranteed a big move.
Yeah, big move.
I would like something personally in it for me, too. Do I get a little bit of a little kickback?
You could probably get a shot.
You get a playoff.
Or some penicillin.
I don't know if penicillin will take care of
it. How about this? You have a very good chance of a day off due to a playoff game on 101 ESPN.
I like seeing you guys, though.
You didn't yesterday.
I just, you know, had a day off. I got vacation days.
You like those, don't you?
Who doesn't like vacation
okay,
days?
Okay, there's that. You should do it, too. You should join the crowd.
Randy, but you haven't answered this, though.
I would. For a big move.
Oh, you're licking the turd?
You betcha. A
couple of turd lickers here. We care.
Cardinal Nation, we love you.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I wouldn't lick the turd.
Clearly a guy that doesn't have a dog.
What? I've been around dog turds before.
That's not part of the
I've stepped in lots of them.
What is it? Cesar Milan trick?
Wait, what was that one?
That's licking the turd.
Oh.
We know each other well now. It's fine. He knows I'm the pack leader.
Oh, man. And do you think that front offices value prospects too much in today's game?
Absolutely. There's a piece, and Bob Nightingale referenced this, and we talked about it yesterday on the show a little bit. Baseball America did a piece that goes all the way back to, I think, 2004 through 2016, and only 20% of the prospects traded at the trade deadline wind up being major league players. So there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and there are very few guys that are can't miss. Even the can't miss sometimes miss.
They do.
So,
and sometimes when you make the trade, like Boston did in 1990 for Larry Anderson, sometimes you wind up trading Jeff Bagwell.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That does happen.
Thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Next up in the fast lane, Julio Jones will not be participating in Falcons preseason games. This is a trend that might be happening more and more around the NFL. That's next on 101 ESPN. That's Julio Jones of the Atlanta Falcons, and there's no need for Julio Jones in this day and age to participate in NFL preseason games. Actually, for any established star, it's stupid for the teams to play those guys in the games. The games are worthless. It's unfortunate that the league makes fans pay to go to those games. But I totally get the Falcons and Julio Jones not wanting him to get injured in a preseason game, in a meaningless preseason game.
Julio Jones said last week he's trying to go for 3,000 yards. I don't care what the hell he does in the preseason. That doesn't matter at all. You want him to be a beast and ready to be good to go. Now, I do think that there are some situations where maybe it's a younger player, even if it's an impact one, that you'd like to see him continue to get those reps. Maybe it's a younger quarterback where you're just trying to still build, that rapport where you do know, as Julio is talking about, he knows where Matt's going to throw the ball. Matt knows where he's going to be. Not everybody has that. So I think that there are reps and game reps, even though preseason games aren't like an actual NFL game, because anybody that's watched, and I'm sure most of you listening have watched plenty of preseason football games, it looks nothing like the product that you see the first week of the season. It's just different guys for the most part that are going to be out there. A lot of guys that don't end up being on rosters. I think it's important for some guys, but certainly not for veteran players.
No, it's an inevitable part of the game that you have to have players play with each other and against different competition and not scrimmaging. You know, you have to have some other kind of reps outside of what you're doing in practice, what you're doing in training camp. But the bottom line is, and the most important thing above everything else, is to get into the season, the regular season, as healthy as you can possibly be. So aside from the young players who are going to probably need to get those reps and really get their feet wet in NFL action, you don't have to put your star players out there for more than a quarter or more than a series or two. That should be more than enough.
Look at the Bengals over the weekend. In a scrimmage, they go to Dayton, Ohio, playing on a bad turf in Dayton, Ohio, and AJ Green
and again.
The coach would not blame the turf, but AJ Green messed up his foot, and he's out for 8 weeks. There's no way that should happen in a preseason game or a practice for that matter.
No, you know what it is, though? There is a very fine line, and not necessarily even preseason games, but how much can you wrap up these players in bubble wrap, too? Like, they still have to play the game. You still have to start and stop. We know that football, at its core, even though they've tried to take out a lot of the big hits, it's a dangerous game, and we've seen a lot of non-contact injuries over the years, too. Sometimes stuff just happens, but I think that the overall goal here is maybe limit the chances of it happening, like putting your guys in a certain situation. The only question that I have, and I really don't have this for guys like Julio Jones that have been through the wars before, know exactly what it takes to play the full NFL season and then the postseason, but for a lot of guys that haven't done it a lot, I think it also might be dangerous to not put yourself in quote-unquote game situations and then take that hit the first time.
Right.
Or really stop on a dime and try to redirect because somebody's coming to crush you. I don't know where the balance is for these teams and these players.
That's exactly what I was just wondering. If they didn't even play any preseason at all, and it took them like a game or two of regular season action to really get themselves ready, how long would that take, and how much danger would they be putting themselves in if that was the first actual game action they saw?
Well, and Randy, this has
been in college football.
What's that?
What happens in college football?
I mean, they don't really play exhibition.
No,
they play their red-white scrimmage or whatever.
They're allowed
to
practice a lot more, right? It's not the same as it was back in the day where you could have the Junction Boys, but there's still a lot more time with your team. That's one thing. We've already seen this happen in the NFL, and this isn't from an injury standpoint, but it's more of a crispness standpoint. The first couple of weeks of the season, teams are still like trying to figure out who they are offensively, defensively, where everybody's going to be on the same page. But I don't see holding out some stars in the preseason. I don't see that hurting that much more than it already is right now due to the restrictions that they have.
Well, your starters aren't even playing full games in the preseason. Like that first game or two, that's when they're really getting into it.
Right. And most teams, the most a guy will play in the preseason, well, not even most teams anymore, but the most anybody will play is maybe a series into the third quarter in the third game, right?
Yeah.
And then you don't play in the fourth game at all.
Yeah.
So if it's going to be that way, I think you can get what you need to get done in practice where you, if you're a receiver or if you're a running back, you never get tackled.
Would you take, if you're a player, and I guess we'd have to ask a player this, would you trade preseason games, all of them, for more practice time with your team instead?
I'll bet they would. I would think so because in practice, first of all, I think the players do have that thought process that, okay, the lack of practice is hurting the quality of what we're doing because we aren't taught as well. But in practice, heck, we sat out there a lot of years and never saw a tackle in practice, right?
Yeah.
It's not bad when you don't get tackled.
No, probably not. But that is something that they have fought for, is the fact that they don't have to practice yeah. as much. And don't
but
have
if
to
you
put
give
on
up
the pads.
Those games, the question is, yeah. would you trade all four of those games for just practice?
Well, I'm sure that they probably would. If, you know, the thing that you hit on off the top, Randy, is it does suck a lot for season ticket holders, for fans, that they have to pay to watch not starters and not guys that are going to be out there, and you're giving your money away because you have to. I think that instead of playing your stars in the game, fans would be much happier if you just say, hey, these guys are going to be signing autographs on the concourse for the first sure. half if you guys are interested, and then people will show up.
And really, I mean, preseason games, more than anything else, they're for those fringe roster guys, trying to figure out who's going to round right. out the 53-man, who are we going to take? I mean, that's really what it's about.
And you talk about how it sucks for season ticket holders to not have to or to not have the stars playing. There were about 4 years here in St. Louis where we did that for 10 weeks a year.
Fact. That's a fact.
Sounds yeah. like fun.
With no hope of it being anything else.
No, it was
ever.
Basically preseason-type talent.
Yep. Yeah, we do get a text here from the 314 that says the NFL should get rid of the preseason and change it to a one game against prison football teams like they did in that documentary with Terry Crews.
I think that's a great idea.
It's a good documentary, too, based off another documentary.
Yeah, that wasn't documentary. Yes, it was a motion picture. It was a major film.
Well, it was poetry in motion when that team got together.
Was it the longest yard?
Yeah.
Green machine. Green. Machine.
You know what? I haven't seen the original Longest Yard.
It's a great movie. It's better
Burt
than
Reynolds, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Must be Burt Reynolds or something.
It was really good. It was really well done. And the guy from, what's the guy's name? Eddie Albert, I think, was in it. From
Eddie
Green
Albert.
Acres.
Oh, man, that's...
Green Acres is the place.
I've seen some Green Acres. I just don't remember it. Yeah.
We also get a real text message from the 314. It says, from experience, preseason games are valuable for a coaching staff. And I certainly believe that, where you've got guys calling plays. Doesn't matter if the pieces aren't the same pieces that you're normally using, but you're getting ready also. How you're going to call stuff, how you're going to respond to events, the game close, is it a blow? I mean, there are different reps you have to go through.
It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Coming up, Anthony Davis is a 6'10" freak athlete who seems to be afraid of nothing on the basketball court. But at home, well, that's a different story. We've got the details next before, with all due respect, on 101 ESPN.